Browns, Cavs, Guards. Browns, Cavs, Guards. Guards, Cavs, Brent. Jason Lloyd, to talk about them all.
Mumford and Sons.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got to do Mumford and Sons, Jason. Win a pair of tickets. I'll do the Jason Lloyd read. Win a pair of tickets to Mumford and Sons with good neighbors at Blossom Music Center on June 18th. Enter the word soul. Soul by the end of this hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win and qualify for the grand prize and upgrade to the pavilion. Tickets are available at LiveNation.com as part of the Minutemen Workforce Concert Solution Series. Good luck. And he does that thing where he goes away and you can't hear the rest of what he's saying because he comes off the mic too quick.
I would call. That was exciting. I would call.
Word is soul. No, I'm not asking them to call. They got to go to the website, 92.3thefan.com. Pay attention.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. I have ADD.
Mumford and Sons.
I love Mumford and Sons. I'd go to that.
Yeah, name three songs by him.
I don't know.
Exactly. Wait, just everybody's just telling us lies.
I saw them
around here today, aren't they?
No, but that's one of those groups that like you just like their music on in the background, but you can't remember. Like there's them and there's another one just like them, and I confuse them all the time. But I like them both.
The Lumineers, I bet it is.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. That's it.
Where to get a soul?
I could never tell them apart, but I love their stuff. It's great.
S-O-U-L, soul, is that word again, and you can win tickets to go see them, and you can get the grand prize to be under the pavilion to go see them. I haven't been under the pavilion. I've never been classy enough to do it. I heard it's a fantastic experience. So a fantastic experience is also watching all four of these quarterbacks in camp, Jason.
There was
a question that we had. Oh, come on. I'm being serious here. There was a question that I asked, not about the Browns. How many? You kind of shy away from the general population. You got gated communities and all that stuff over there.
Oh, shut
Do you believe that the majority of Browns fans, the vast majority of Browns fans, would just be willing to trade Dillon Gabriel away for nothing just to get him out of here right now?
Do I think fans would trade? Well, I think there's. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is. I think there's some that feel like that would clear the way for Shador. So yes, get him out. Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna debate with Jason. I'll debate with Lyman, but go right on ahead, Jason.
It's nothing against Gabriel. I just think there's a segment of the fan base, probably a large segment, that wants to see Shador. I don't think they're going to right away, but I think that they're clamming for Shador because that's what we're all talking about. That's what everybody's talking about. And I kind of feel bad for Dillon Gabriel. I was thinking about that yesterday because he didn't ask for any of this. If he was a little bit bigger, I think he could be a fine NFL quarterback. He's got a great arm. I actually thought this week both Shador and Dillon handled themselves well in interviews. And you could just tell that they're both very thoughtful in the way that they think things through. And I've enjoyed talking to both of them or listening to both of them. But are there fans that want to get him out of here? Probably just to clear the path for the guy that they really want to see who they're not going to see.
Well, I think that's kind of the heart of our debate here is what makes this so challenging is there are four quarterbacks. And we just got into it before you came on, Jason, about whether that's a good thing or the bad thing. I think it's a bad thing because I think it has a greater chance of sabotaging all the young quarterbacks by having too many to worry about. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe one just emerges and is so much better than the rest. But what is the likelihood of that when one was Kenny Pickett? I don't even know how to include him in the conversation. And then the other two were third and fifth round picks when normally third and fifth round picks are lucky to be backups in this league.
Well, you don't know how to include him in the conversation. I still think he's the starter. Kenny Pickett's going to start the first game. I'll be shocked if he doesn't. And I say that as someone who's watched every single throw, not all of them, but most of these throws. And I think, Flacco to me looks like the best quarterback out there, but I think Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter.
You say that very confidently, Jason. Why?
Well, I just how I see it. That's just what I think.
So hold on, Jason. Think about confusing what you just said was. You just said, I think Flacco's the best quarterback, but Pickett's going to start, but the fans want to see Shador.
Yeah, but listen.
Yet they took the other one, Dillon Gabriel, ahead of Shador. That's the most confusing quarterback situation ever.
And this is just, I think there's other people who agree with me, but this, we're not NFL talent evaluators. But from what, and we see just a small snippet of what's going on. That's why so much of what we're talking about here just gets over. But I get it. This is the game, and we got to do it. I get it. But this gets so blown out of proportion when you're talking about rookie mini camps and OTAs and mandatory mini camps, because we're just seeing such a small sliver of what it is that they're doing and what they're looking for. What we see and what they're looking for don't always align. I just, for a lot of reasons, I just think Kenny's going to be the day one starter. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just completely collapses in training camp. And I mean, first time Joe Flacco dropped back and threw it, I said, yep, he's still got it. The old man can still spin it. And he's looked to me like he's got the best arm. He's the best quarterback on this roster. But I've been pretty consistent on this. I don't know what playing a 40-year-old quarterback, where that gets you with what they're trying to get out of this year. It's all about developing or trying to develop or seeing what you have, I guess. It's a better way. I don't know if it's necessarily developing the young guys. It's seeing what you have in the young guys. Because I'm of the belief as soon as they traded down on draft day, they are taking a quarterback next year in the first round until proven otherwise.
True.
And I joked about this a couple weeks ago that, you know, like in the court of law, you got to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, one of these guys has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there's not a reason to take a quarterback next year. Because as of now, as we sit here now, there is no doubt to me that the future quarterback of the Browns, they believe, is not on this roster yet, and they're going to take him in the first round until one of these young guys proves them otherwise.
So the quarterback you would trust the most personally to start the season to win some football games is Joe Flacco, correct? Quick answer.
Yes.
Okay, do you believe the fans feel the same way you do?
Yeah.
Okay, the majority of fans feel the same way you do. So how does the organization then, if they decide to start Kenny Pickett at the beginning of the year, tell everybody that they are a serious group if they decide to start Kenny Pickett with the season instead of Joe Flacco?
Because, well, they can say whatever they want. You can make a case for Kenny that, you know, he got run out of Pittsburgh. He got kind of screwed in the end, and they didn't set him up for success. And he's younger. He's mobile. Like, you can come up with they can say whatever they want. They come up with a bunch of reasons. I'll go back to what I said earlier. I don't know what's the benefit of playing a 40-year-old quarterback. The whole goal of this season is either to find a franchise quarterback or put yourself in position to go get a franchise quarterback. That's it. Nothing else matters until they figure out the freaking quarterback. We've been saying it for 25 years, and we're still saying it. And I don't know where playing a 40-year-old quarterback, where is that? It might get you an extra win or two. Okay, congratulations. But it doesn't solve the greater puzzle that they're trying to solve.
So Kevin and Andrew are perfectly safe for 2026.
I mean, as soon as they traded down from 3 to 5, is that a move that a general manager makes who's in fear of his job?
Absolutely not. But that's why I'm asking you. You're one of the insiders I trust.
I mean, no, I believe they're safe. Yeah. Now you have to trust. I've said this before. You got to trust ownership on that. That, you know, that they don't get emotional and make an emotional decision in October when, if they're, you know, if you're 2-6, 2-7, and people like you and me are screaming about how awful this is, and that's going to happen. You say whatever you want now. When you're in the fire, when you're in the thick of it, everyone's going to scream about how awful this is and look at this regime and they can't do anything right and blah, 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 blah. And you have to trust ownership to hold the rope and not make an emotional rash decision, which is hard to do. I was having a conversation, you know, with all these NBA firings going on, I was having a conversation with the NBA executive who said, like, there's only so many things that an owner can do. And the worst thing, and this applies to all sports, an owner never wants to be looked at as the fans care more than them. And what options do they have? Fire people. That's it. So you just have to be, you're putting a lot of trust in the ownership group not to make a rash decision.
But you're putting the fans in an impossible position then.
Absolutely.
Okay, because you know exactly where I'm going this. When do I judge them on wins? Like, this will be like the third different changeover in 6 years where, like, you can't judge them on wins. It's professional sports. How am I not supposed to judge my favorite team on wins?
That's why I said at the end of last year, listen, would I fire them? No. But I totally get why people feel that way. I get it. I totally get it. But I just look at the Deshaun thing as it just wrecked the franchise. It absolutely wrecked the franchise. And if you look at that, and if Jimmy does put his hand up and he says that was on me, and I've already laid out before how it's my understanding how that went. That yes, Andrew wanted them. Yes, Andrew really liked them. Yes, Kevin liked them. They were on board. But the whole thing got to a point where it felt like we can't do this. We can't guarantee the whole thing. And Jimmy said, go. We're too far into it now. We have to go. We can't take no for an answer. So if Jimmy uses that as the foundation of this one's on me, guys, you know, I'm not going to hold you accountable for that. That's how you justify this. It wrecked the franchise. And now you have to pull yourself out of the rubble of that. So if you weren't going to fire them after last year, I don't see how you fire them this year, because you know you're not going to be very good.
I don't understand that, but again, he basically admitted the mistake, did he not, during the offseason, talking about the owner?
Meeting.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's only so many times you go, it's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault, and you've empowered those people to make those decisions. Okay, you've empowered them to do what? To bring in more quarterbacks? Okay, what decision was their decision? So now I'm asking more questions instead of getting more answers here. I've empowered them to do what? Draft Jed Wills instead of Tristan Wirfs. I've empowered them to do what? Take more guys in the third round as wide receivers who don't pan out. I've empowered them to do what exactly? Like that goes down a very bad road here.
Well, that's why I said if you want to fire him after last year, I get it. If you want to blow everybody out after last year was horrendous. I think took years off people's lives who were in that building. But if you weren't going to fire them after last year, why would you fire them now?
I would agree. Jason, I mean, I said it's like, well, 2025 isn't the guarantee you want. You want 2026 to be the guarantee if you're going to keep all these guys.
Yeah. I mean, so you're going to give them another chance. You're going to give them another shot at swinging at another quarterback, and they're going to take another quarterback at the top of the first round next year, unless one of these guys, whether it's Pickett or whether it's one of the rookies, really emerges as the guy who – but again – The worst thing that could happen this year, in my opinion, the worst thing could happen is one of these guys is just good enough to make you think that if you hold it in the right light, maybe you got something here. And then you pass on the opportunity to take a quarterback at the top of the first round next year.
Has to be without a shadow of a doubt. It has to be in the worst light. Yeah.
So everyone has to be horrible or one of them has to be phenomenal. But the worst thing that could come out of this is you get one guy who makes, I don't know, 6 or 7 starts and some pretty good moments, couple moments, and you think maybe there's something here. That, to me, is disaster. Like, you want them all to be bad or one of them to just be head and shoulders so good that it brings out the type of season that no one at this point thinks is possible.
All right, Jason, quickly switching to basketball, the Darius Garland surgery news, does that end any kind of Garland trade talks?
It certainly makes it a lot harder. I don't think it's impossible to trade him, but I don't think it's likely. It's not an ACL. It's not an Achilles. You know, it's a toe. It's anytime you're having surgery, it's serious. It's significant. But I don't think it's anything that should hinder him throughout his career or anything like that. But obviously, if you're a team trying to acquire him, you want to trade for a guy who's healthy. So I don't think it's impossible, but I think certainly it impacts it pretty significantly.
Okay, watching the Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, does it get the Cavs off the hook a little bit that the Pacers are 2 games away from an NBA Finals championship?
If they finish it off, yeah, I think it does. Because this came up after the Knicks series. I was like, guys, the Cavs are better than the Knicks. So, you know, to me that was like, if you're Ohio State and lost to Boise State.
You sure about that?
Well, hear me out. Throughout the regular season, yes. What we thought they were, yes. So if Boise State beats Ohio State and then Boise State beats Penn State, does that make you feel better that they beat Penn State? No, you're Ohio State. You're supposed to win it. I still believe – like, I'm curious to see, had everyone been healthy, how that series would have gone. Obviously, what the Pacers have gone on to do. If they finish off Oklahoma City – and by the way, I would still take the Thunder to win the series. I still think they're the better team. But – if the Pacers do this and they beat them, yeah, I think it does lessen some of the heat on the Cavs, because this would finish one of the most historical runs we've ever seen. I was looking up this morning. Last time a team with 50 or fewer games won the championship was 1994. Like, Pacers won 50 games in regular season. The Rockets won 47 in 94, and they took out a 60-win team and a 62-win team in the West to do it. For the Pacers to do this, if they take out what were the Cavs, 64 and 68, the 68-win Thunder, like, when's the last time? We've never seen that before. And so when you have to go back 30 years to find the last time something happened, if they do it, then you just sort of tip your cap to them and say, well, that's incredible. That's one of the greatest two-month runs we've seen. Congratulations. It will probably won't happen again for another 30 years. But I still think the Thunder are the better team, and I still think the Thunder will win the series. But, I mean, obviously this is all on game four now. If Indy goes up 3-1, it's over. If the Thunder get it back to 2-2, I think this is one of those instances where whoever wins game four wins the series.
I wish I had more time with you, but we will have more time here in a few weeks or a couple weeks. Jason, thank you so much for your time now, and all the best to you and yours.
See you, boys.
Jason Lloyd from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.